gather here. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, welcome to another edition of His Stories Broadcast, and we're so glad that you're here this morning. We have a very special guest, and so we'd like to be able to block out as much time for him as possible. So if you'll go to the Lord in prayer with me, I'd greatly appreciate that. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for who you are. Yes. I thank you, Lord, that as you're, as we're taught to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so we give you praise. We give you praise on the fact that you have loved us and you loved us first. Lord, may we respond to that love. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you with our request. Whether we think they're huge or small, we come to you. You are our life giver. And Lord, we just give you honor this morning. Lord, I thank you. And Lord, I do ask that you would just, as you woke me up this morning, that you put a word on me, and that has created me a pure heart and renew a right spirit. So, Lord, I just I thank you for that, and we just give you praise. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Gil.
Good morning, Kevin. How's it going?
You know, it's a beautiful day. I would say this morning, as I said in the prayer, that I actually woke up and that verse was just ringing in my head. And so I went to the whole Psalm 51 today, and just read through it. And it was just it was refreshing, you know, that you know, just to have sort of that rain come over my spirit. It was really good.
Amen.
So, yeah. Well, good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, a whole lot always going on, which is good. You know, but good. It's a good busy. There's a lot of things on the horizon, and man, sometimes I keep saying I need to simplify my life, and then it gets more complicated. It's like that Facebook status. It's complicated.
You have a big heart.
Very big heart. Yeah, but only 24 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
The issue. But it's good. So good. God is good. Yes, church is doing well. Everything's going really well. Can't complain about anything. Enough about us.
Yeah.
We do have a special guest with us this morning, this afternoon, this evening, depending on whether you're listening on WHME or on podcast. Mm-hmm. And his name is Mr. Marcus Bray. And so I'm going to just go ahead and introduce him. He's a great guy. He's a Christian rapper and just all around powerful man of God. So good morning, Marcus Bray.
Good morning. How you doing, sir?
Doing fine. We have to talk about this, sir.
Yes, sir.
Marcus, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, where you're from, you know, where you come from, where you hail from, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, tell us about yourself.
I'm from Niles, Michigan, born and raised there. I'm 44 years old, married with 5 children, been married for 14 years, but with my wife for 15.
Okay, cool. Okay. So now you said born and raised in Niles?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about how you actually came to the Lord?
I came to the Lord because I got locked up in the year of 2001, spent 2 years in prison, felt like I was going crazy in my mind, asking people to you know, what was wrong with me because I didn't understand it. A guy that I had met in the county jail earlier wound up being in the same prison with me. And while he was there, he gave me a Bible. And when he gave me the Bible, I just started reading it and started feeling peace and just never put it down. I didn't have anyone there to guide me in the scriptures, no one to be like, okay, you need to be baptized, just nothing. All I had was that word of God, and that's all I had, and that's what I clung on to or clinged on to, however you want to pronounce it.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, when you were growing up, how was that? Obviously, we know that you grew up in Niles geographically. It's always good to know some of the layers of a person. Family structure, it's good to get to know you a little bit.
I come from a single-parent home. My mom worked 2 jobs. I have 2 brothers. We're all 5 years apart. My oldest brother's name is James Bray. He's an elder. And then my middle brother is Ronnie Bray. And then there's me.
Yeah.
We have me and my brother Ronnie. We have the same father. My oldest brother has a different father.
Sure.
Because of the age difference, we kind of grew up solo.
Okay, sure. Yeah, makes sense.
My oldest brother, by him being 10 years older than me, he was basically doing his thing. And then my brother that's over me, he was in and out of juvenile and prison. So it was just a matter of time before I started following in his steps because there was no one there. My dad, I knew who he was. I had a piece of a relationship with him, but it wasn't to the point to where he was active in my life. I knew who he was.
Did he live in Niles as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. His name was Thomas Nix. He was from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to call me and my brother Indians because no matter where he would go, we would track him down. So,
I can't run.
Yeah. But he was all right. For a while, I carried a lot of hatred towards him because, you know, everybody wants to
be with their dad.
Especially men, we need somebody to look up to, and I didn't have nobody to look up to, just my cousins, and then they were in the streets, and my mom, she was working two jobs trying to provide, so she really wasn't there, but I can't blame her, because she was there financially.
Yeah.
She was there to make sure that we had food on the table, clothes on our back, a roof over our head, but she just wasn't really there to pitch in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. I was wondering about that because, you know, a lot of times you can have those hurts early on in life. And so it can progress, you know, mm-hmm. you know, into later into life. So,
It most definitely did. I mean, when you don't have nobody that you can depend on, then you begin to depend on people in the streets, and then they don't have really no love for you. They just using you for whatever they can get out of you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now we fast forward back. Your county, you meet this guy, he gives you a Bible.
Yes.
And so then what happens from there? Automatically everything changed. Yeah. You read the Bible, John 3:16, leaped off the page.
Yeah.
And happily ever after.
I will say that for me, mm-hmm. I can't speak for nobody else, things changed for me.
Good.
I stopped watching a lot of TV in prison because I wanted to focus on the word, so all I did was read. Fast, pray, listen to John Hagee CDs, different preaching CDs and ministry music. And because once I seen that insane feeling that I was having was gone, that's all I focused on. Yeah. And I believe that it was God's will. Like a lot of people be like, you know, you go to prison, most people come out the same way. I will say that for a minute. Because that wasn't my first time. Actually, that was like my third time going to prison.
Right.
The first time I went for stealing a car, and I did 4.5 years. Then the second time I caught a drug case in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and did another 4.5 years. So that's a total of 9 there. And then went back for 2 years. And the last time that I went back for that 2 years is when my transformation began.
Mm.
So I started focused on nothing but God. And when after being saved in prison and just building my relationship with him, when I came home, most people, they get saved in prison. They put God back on the shelf when they come home.
Right.
I didn't
do
that. Yeah. I came home and kept walking with it, kept seeking him. Went to my father-in-law's church. It was dead because there was a lot of old people. There were no youth there. Uh-huh. So they were kind of stuck in their ways.
Mm-hmm.
So then I left there and then went to another church, New Beginnings in Niles, Michigan.
Okay.
And actually, that's where I met Pastor Gill at. And because it was vibrant there, you know, I felt like, you know, this is where I needed to be because you gotta be where the spirit is. You know, you can't be at a church that's dead. There's no life.
Right.
So,
right.
And I've been walking with him. Yeah. I had some ups and downs, but still, and yet I never turned my back on him. And as the word say, he never forsakes you nor leaves you.
Right.
So he was always with me through everything. Some things you'd be like, Lord, Jesus, he even cried out, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, we get into a situation sometimes and you cry out, but he never forsakes you.
Now, you shared with us off air before we even got on, you said, and I didn't even notice that, your life has been literally spared.
Yes.
Yeah.
At least 3 times.
Yes.
Why don't you give us an example of maybe one of those times when God has literally spared your life?
I'm going to share the last one. I had a friend, a childhood friend I grew up with. We connected and we were selling drugs together. Dude became a little bit jealous of me. And what he did was he set me up to get murdered. And what happened was I was trapped in a house. And it was, I believe that God did it so that he would get the glory out of it. Mm-hmm. There was no escape. And as I went to confront my opposition and try and ease my way out of the house so I can escape, it didn't go like that. And but God always keeps a ram in the bush. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy mother and his sisters came in the house at the exact time when the guys that were coming to do something to me were about to strike. So, you know, God saved me, and it gave me a window of opportunity to get out, and I got out.
Wow. Sounds like a lot of chaos was taking place in your life, to say the least. What would you say would be the difference between the life in drugs and the life you had, and now in the life that you have with Christ?
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. When you're in that type of environment, you know, it's danger always. Death is always lurking around the corner because you're dealing with a lot of shady people.
Yeah.
You're dealing with people that once you start to make money, then they start to focus on you. And some begin to hate you and be envious because of you getting money. You know how to handle your business, and they some don't. We could all start off with the same amount of drugs, and I'll be more business-minded about how I'm selling mine, how I'm putting money to the side, and they're careless, and they just squandering their money. Now they looking at you like, well, dude done came up. I want to take his.
Yeah.
You know, so it's and you don't have to walk in with God and living like a model life or being a model citizen. You don't have to worry about watching your back. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about somebody lurking around your house, somebody plotting on your girl. It's a lot of things that you don't have to worry about. You know, coming home late at night because you've been out selling dope and then got to scout the whole area, making mm-hmm. sure ain't nobody lurking around your house. Mm-hmm. That's a very dangerous game.
It's a dangerous game. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I can say this. Sometimes the life that you live in the Lord, we do have to watch.
Yeah.
Except we're watching it in a different way.
Yeah.
Because our battle is not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And it's against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. So I feel like, I was just listening to you describe. I was like, I feel like I have to do that. When I come home, I need to spiritually scan my house. I need to engage with my son. Like, hey, what's going on with him? What's going on with my wife? And so it's a different war. It's a different war. Yeah. So it's just interesting as you were describing that. I was like, I feel like I have to do that, but in a different way.
That is true because, I mean, as believers, especially if you are an effective believer,
mm-hmm.
one that's always out there doing the work of the Lord, because, you know, we get persecuted for that.
Sure.
Even though, like in third world countries, they really got to scan what they're doing, you know, because they get their heads taken off for the name of Jesus.
Right.
It just hasn't reached over here yet. So it would be the same thing. But the difference is the glory.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We know that if we die for Jesus, we know that where we're going to dwell.
Right.
Unlike being out there in the streets and you die for a reason, and hell is the next step if you get caught.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, eternal life is definitely
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Well, we've been talking to Marcus Bray. It's Gil Michelle, Kevin Michelin. This is His Stories Broadcast. We're going to come back and we're going to jump back into Marcus's story, delve in a little bit deeper, and hear a little bit more about his testimony. We'll be back right after this.
Yes.
So, let me ask you, who is doing the bookkeeping and payroll for your church? Is it the pastor or a very worn-out volunteer? Why not contact the experts at churchaccountingservices.com? We work within your schedule to make sure these important financial tasks are taken care of at a price you can afford and with no fuss. So contact us today at churchaccountingservices.com.
Attention all contractors, property owners, and construction managers. Are you looking for an environmentally friendly demolition service that will save you money while providing jobs to those in need? Then look no further. Jenka Services keeps you conscious while employing and training people who need jobs. We also offer finishing services like drywall installation and site prep work. So call Jenka Services today at 574-520-0225 and receive a free quote for your project.
All right, and we are back. Kevin Michelin, Gil Michelle, His Stories Broadcast and Podcast. And we are here today with Marcus Bray. We've been hearing his story. You know, it's been a very quiet, boring existence. Marcus growing up. But seriously, we've just been hearing just snippets about his testimony. Marcus, why don't we jump back into your story and tell us kind of how, after you were in prison, you came back home, how you actually got back into doing Christian rap. And how that whole thing happened.
Well, I started, I used to rap secularly, but never really wanted to do it as a career or anything, just, you know, freestyling, basically. Mm-hmm. But when I gave my life unto the Lord, I just started, my whole personality changed, and I just started rapping about God, came home. I had a cousin named Mark Adams, and he gave me some beats for free. Mm-hmm. And I just, all the songs that I had wrote in prison, I just started applying them to the beats, whatever song fit the beats, and started going from there.
Okay, just a second. I'm a white guy. Yeah. You said beats for free. What are you talking about?
Because
there's a lot of white people out there going, what the heck are you saying? Okay, all right, so. All
right. He made beats, tracks. And
okay.
When they were free, they were free to me.
How old I am too. Oh, yeah. Old white guy. Okay. Yeah.
So he gave them to me, and I fit songs to them. And then at the church that I was going to, you know, it was a lot of youth at New Begins, a lot of youth.
Yeah.
So I just kept rapping and used to rap at the at little things that we would have there.
That's
And then just from there, I was put on my heart, you know, to try and pursue it professionally as a career. So
wow.
I started the label. It was Shielding Rock Records then. Uh-huh. But then my pastor at that time, Raymond Massey, he had told me that he heard that God speak to him and told him that Shielding Rock Records was a ministry. So I switched it, and I was praying to God, like, what should I call it? And he was like, Just Us.
Hmm.
I was like, Just Us. Us Music came about.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Well, how have you been able to use rap, Christian rap, in sharing your story and preaching the gospel? How effective is it as opposed to preaching? And do you think one is less effective than the other? When do you think one is more effective than the other? How do you see Christian rap in reaching people and carrying the gospel?
I would say, me personally, I think they both are on the same level. I don't think one's better than the other one, because just like you can have a small platform for certain pastors that have small churches,
right,
they still effective. And then not everyone that does Christian rap blows up. So, mm-hmm, you know, right, they have small platforms too. But then you have people like Lecrae that's on a major scale, and he's reaching people in different countries and everything. Like, he's like,
I've heard that name.
You heard? Okay. All right. Yeah. Kevin, you're right back in here. All right. You're back in the club. All right.
He's super. So then you have people like Joel Osteen, Bishop T.D. Jakes,
sure,
that are on a high platform. So, right, I mean, it's just the anointing that God will have on you for the people that you have to reach.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier about the fact that you'd rapped in front of some kids. So I can just imagine them soaking that up.
Right.
You know, that would be incredible.
It's just
you're hearing God's word going through those lyrics.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just like we're fishes of men. So for me, that's my bait.
Yeah.
You know, to lure men. Because you have, especially when you can compete with secular rappers, and you putting out a product that's just as good as theirs. The beats are just as hot.
Yeah.
The lyrics are just as ferocious. You know what I mean? And you have wordplay. So if you have all that, then, you know, that makes a great hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
And it grabs them.
Yeah.
And they feel your passion. Right. So if you definitely bring in that passion, and they like, wow, I didn't know that Christian rap was like that. Yeah, right. Like that.
And Christ is so much a part of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
In a great way. And so that's going to come out of your music as well.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, Kevin. I mean, I grew up, I'm a hip hop head, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've talked to Marcus before. Sometimes he gives me the eye like, what? How you know that? And I'm a student. I mean, matter of fact, one thing people don't know, me and my brother, we had submitted tapes to Def Jam Records, where LL Cool J and Run DMC were part of.
Yeah.
So growing up in Queens, in those neighborhoods, hip hop was just
everything.
It wasn't just the music, it was the culture.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of times I'll you know, people will talk to Mark and they say, hey, man, we're having a youth event. It ain't just youth.
That's right.
There are people 40, right. Yeah. You know, my age, 40 years old. And, man, they're bumping with it just as hard. Like, man, I remember. Mm-hmm. And so I remember growing up looking for good Christian rap. And I'll just – the stuff that – God bless you all that do Christian rap. God loves you.
God loves you.
But those who are hip-hop heads, like, when you – and you – in those early days, you picked up a – I'll say a cassette or a CD, and I love Jesus. How about you? And it's like, that's not going to do.
Yeah, you're good.
You know, like.
Yeah, good try.
Yeah. Good try, yeah. God bless your heart. You know how I say, like, bless that heart. So it's good to see good Christian hip hop come out. And that's why I like artists like Lecrae and The Truth and all these other people that are coming out, Andy Mineo and Thizzle. But all these people are coming out, and they're like, the quality of the music. Is right there with the message. Yeah. You know what I mean? You don't have to compromise the quality for the message. And that's what I love about what Marcus is doing as well. So, so yeah. How do you feel about the crossover appeal to some of the Christian hip hop that's happening today?
Man, that's a real talk. There's a lot of, that's a lot of controversy because some people, a lot of diehard scripture people that like to just stick to the scripture. They don't really like it because they feel like you're starting to sell out when you start taking the name Jesus out of it. Then that becomes a problem because no longer is it that transformation music, that life changing music. Now you're no different than, let's say, a Nelly. Nelly may not cuss in his songs. It's just positive music, party music. So then you have a Christian rapper because he's trying to cross over and reach more people. Now that's what he's doing. Okay. So. To me, I would be like, you know, they compromising now.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But that's my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
And like me and Pastor Gil talk, I don't know what God is doing with that person. So I really try to keep my mouth on them. I'm more scripture-based. I preach music or push music that has the underlining of that you need a change.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the way. I preach restoration music, reconciliation music, music that'll not only encourage and uplift you, but has a message like, man, you know, maybe I do need Jesus. I'm going through something and it's a life event or a life struggle, but they still telling me about Jesus at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. It's like sharing our testimony.
Yeah.
We ain't perfect, you know.
No.
So I go through it. A lot of my music is like that, but yet and still I don't deviate away from the word.
Right.
Let me ask you something. How is that your life that you've had? You know, we just talked about you having selling drugs and going to prison and the pain that's involved in all of that.
Yes.
How has that affected your music?
Good question.
I'm an open book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what if you hear it in my music, then that's what I was going through.
Yeah.
If I say that when it rains, I'm telling you about the storms that I'm going through. But at the same time, I had a line in there and I asked the question, like, who am I to go against God?
Yeah.
He's the potter. He molded me. There's a reason for this storm. It's to strengthen me. Yeah. So I just put my life out there. And the only thing is either you like it or you don't like it. You can relate or you can't relate.
Yeah.
I've been a drug dealer. I've been an alcoholic. I've been a womanizer. I've been in a relationship where my wife was homosexual, you know, but still and yet not judging her, but fighting for my marriage. So I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. I do spiritual battles. I talk about God and people be like, well, man, you might talk about him a little too much. No, you might not be willing to hear him a little too less. You know what I mean? So that's my life. I don't sugarcoat nothing. I don't try and act like I'm more than what I am. I'm just me. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what you see is what you get.
Yeah. The word identity keeps popping into my spirit, and that your identity at one time was drug dealer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your identity was prison.
Yes.
But now it's a free man.
Mm. Right.
And that's just kind of, I had to pop that.
Amen. A soldier.
Yeah.
Overcoming. Yeah. There's a lot of them. That's right.
Yeah.
You got a great identity. That identity is huge.
Yeah. You know, I think what you just spoke to, literally in this past 60 seconds, I sense that there's probably people out there who are struggling with their identity. Yeah. And, you know, what I like about your testimony, he just said it all, by the way. Oh, yeah, I used to be a drug dealer. This woman, That's not who I am anymore.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
The focus is not what I was. The focus is what God has made me to become.
Absolutely.
And so, so many times, and I've had this conversation with Marcus in the past, like, people want to, there's so much sometimes, as I think we do it for shock value, mm-hmm. more so than anything.
Yeah.
We want to focus on the drug dealing, the womanizing, the yeah. this, the that, instead of what God can do from that.
From that. Right.
And because it's not as sexy, it's not as hyper, it's not as whatever. And so that's what I love about your testimony, Marcus, is that that's not where the focus is. The focus is, this is who I am now. This is my identity
yeah.
right
yes.
now.
Yeah.
And so could you do this? And we don't always do this. but could you maybe drop, I don't know, a couple bars just out for people out there who we've asked worship singers to sing.
We have, yeah.
So
yeah.
why not ask a Christian rapper to drop a yeah. couple, just a verse or so? Just
all right.
We got a little bit of time, so
little bit
30
of time.
Seconds.
30 seconds?
yeah.
All right. I'm on my body. What that means I'm walking outside of me. I'm walking outside of my flesh and everything attacking me. You see, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh if I'm not in it. Plus, I think I'm getting stronger when I'm walking in the spirit. Let's get it.
Oh, man.
You said just a little bit.
Yeah, all right. Well, tell us how we can get in contact with you, how people can go out there and buy you guys' music and get your CDs, DVDs,
and
downloads.
We want to get that on Facebook.
Yeah, we'll put that on Facebook as well. Yeah. Absolutely.
You can hit me and my wife up, Miss April Clarity Bray on Facebook, or you can hit me up as Marcus Bray on Facebook, and then we have our group page, which is Just Us Music. On Facebook,
nice.
And we can get you the music from there.
All right.
Awesome.
Sounds
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Kevin, you going to rap next? Is that how it's going to go?
I'm that guy that you're at the very end, you're going to go, well, God bless you.
God bless your heart.
God bless right? your heart.
Oh, man. Well, this has been an amazing interview so far. And I just believe people out there need to hear where Marcus has been. And what he's been through. And I believe it's going to touch many people. Kevin, let me just remind you before Kevin praises out, please go ahead and visit our page, hisstoriespodcast.com, hisstoriesbroadcast.com, and hit us up as well on Facebook and now on Twitter. So we're expanding our social media space, and we're going to Instagram soon, too. We're going to complete the trifecta. And so hit us up there, and on those sites, go ahead and donate, if you would. Airtime is not free, though we would love it to be. And so share testimonies if you'd love to share what God has been doing with you in listening to the broadcast. All right. Amen. God bless you guys. Kevin, if you
praise
can.
Out. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Father in heaven, we just give you praise. We give you praise on transforming lives, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives here
yes.
in the studio, but what you're doing of all those people who are listening to you right now. Lord God, if someone is touched, Lord, may your Holy Spirit just invade them.
Mm.
Lord God, that they would be consumed by you right now.
Yes.
Lord, that they would see you and experience you for who you really are. And that whatever thing that they may be dealing with and whichever the enemy is saying some lie to, that you would replace it with the truth.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories. So drop us a line at hisstoriesbroadcast.com. That's hisstoriesbroadcast.com. To add your part to the story God is telling.